And that's what I want to end on today, if you want to put that last slide up there. And that is to discover your anointing. We're going to go over to the book of Judges, chapter 9, for this last session. I told you my story, a little bit of my story earlier, that I was raised in a very traditional Southern Baptist church in Atlanta. I am very grateful for my Southern Baptist heritage because those people taught me that Jesus was my Savior. They also taught me that the Bible is really important and that I should have a foundation in the Word. They also told me that if it's in the Bible, I should believe it. So when I was 18 years old and I learned from that lady that I told you about, that weird lady that didn't act like any Southern Baptist I'd ever met, that charismatic lady, I went to her and asked her, what is this? What does charismatic mean? And she was very kind of standoffish at first because she acted like she didn't want to talk to me about it. And she said, well, why don't you come to my house and I'll talk to you about it there. I didn't realize the reason why she was acting that way was because the pastor had told her, you're not allowed to talk about this in the church. And so she was being very obedient to the pastor, but she was also being very sneaky. And I went to her home. She opened up her very well-marked Bible and showed me these scriptures. She took me to a scripture in Luke chapter 24 where Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. And she explained to me that even though the disciples had been born again, Jesus had breathed on them the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit in them. They needed to be filled with the Spirit. And she explained to me there's a difference between being born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd never heard that before. This was all new to me. And yet she's showing me scriptures about it. And then she's taking me to Acts chapter 2, and I'm hearing about people speaking in tongues, and we didn't really talk about that in our church. And she took me to 1 Corinthians 12, and she talked to me about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that there's the gift of miracles and the gift of healing and the gift of prophecy and the gift of word of knowledge. I never heard of those things before. And then she showed me different places in the book of Acts where people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it said that they spoke in tongues and prophesied and received boldness. And I'd never heard any of that before, but my Baptist pastors had told me that if it's in the Bible, you should believe it. And they had actually never taught me not to believe in those things about the Holy Spirit. They just didn't talk about them. So after a week, and she also loaded me down with these books. This was back in the 70s. Some of y'all might remember if you're old enough. There's not very many people in here that old. But she loaded me down with these books. Like one was called The Holy Spirit and You by Dennis Bennett. And he was an Episcopalian. And I'd never heard of Episcopalians before either. And I lived a pretty sheltered life. And then she gave me this book by a lady named Frances Hunter, who was a Southern Baptist. And that book was called, Why Should I Speak in Tongues? And so I had all these books, and I went home. And you have to understand that my Southern Baptist mother was praying for me at that particular time in my life because I was a little bit, maybe, she wasn't sure which direction I was going to go spiritually. I was getting ready to go to college. So she's really praying for me that I'm going to, you know, stay on the straight path. And then I walk in the door and I've got, Why Should I Speak in Tongues? And I think at that point she went to praying even harder for me. But that's a good lesson for all of us, that when you're praying for your kids, you can't really tell God how he's going to answer. Right? So because the truth is God was answering my mother's prayers. And she just didn't know that it was going to be that I was going to end up a Holy Ghost tongue-talking Pentecostal. And so I read those books, I studied those scriptures, and then on September 5th, 1976, I went and sat on the volleyball court behind First Baptist Church, Avondale Estates, Georgia. And I prayed something like this: Lord, would you please baptize me in the Holy Spirit? And then I kind of went like this. Because I didn't know what would happen, you know. I'm reading Acts chapter 2, wind, flames. This is all new to me, and nobody was there. I wasn't in a meeting. I'd never seen people raise their hands. I'd never seen people lay hands on anybody. I'd never heard anybody speaking in tongues in my life. I'd never been in a Pentecostal meeting before in my life. Never seen anybody fall on the floor or any of that. It was totally all new to me. And yet God totally like drenched me, baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and I started speaking in tongues on Southern Baptist property. It's like God didn't even look at the sign on the door. Isn't that cool that we have a God like that? That tells me what he wants to do in Augusta, Georgia. Amen? In fact, we were talking, I'm hoping while I'm here this weekend, I'm going to go to the building where the Southern Baptist Convention was started. It's here in Augusta. And I was told that after the original church moved out, that the next church got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because we need the anointing. Amen? And here's what I want you to get out of this last session, ladies, is that the Lord wants his women to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And he has something that he wants you to do that is not in your own power. You see, when I went and talked to this lady in my church, what she was explaining to me from Luke 24, verse 49, which says, Jesus told his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you have been filled with the Spirit or until you've been clothed with power. Because he knew that if they just went out and did things in their own strength, in their own ability, well, there's certain things we can do, you know. And do you know that people can build churches without the anointing of the Holy Spirit? People can do programs. People can do religious activity without the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people have questioned what would happen if the Holy Spirit was just withdrawn from the world. Some people have theorized that most of the church would just go on as usual because we weren't depending on his power. But we need to get in a place in our relationship with God that unless his supernatural anointing is flowing with us, we would immediately realize we were up a creek because there's no way we could do any of this without him. Amen? God wants a company of women that are absolutely flame-throwing, Holy Ghost-filled, powerful, anointed daughters of God who are doing dangerous things for the King of Kings. Amen? Amen? Turn to a lady next to you and say, you are a dangerous woman. Ladies, we're going to have to get to a place where we're just not doing the same old, mediocre, substandard stuff. We got to be willing to do the stuff. We got to be willing to do the supernatural. We got to be willing to do what man can't do. And God is very, very open and eager and interested in pouring out his supernatural anointing on normal, weak, fragile people. And they're not going to take credit for what they do. They're going to give God the glory for it. And they're going to be very well aware that it was not themselves that did that, but it was God. Amen? I mentioned this morning that in Acts chapter 2, it says that there were 120 people in that room. They gathered there. They were praying. They'd been waiting on God. They were waiting on, because Jesus had said, don't leave Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power. And so then when they came there, and the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, all of a sudden there was a sound of rushing wind. All of a sudden these flames appeared on the heads of every person. I wish we could have been there to see that. I don't think it was just a little Bic lighter on heads. It wasn't like birthday cake candles. I think those people were like on fire. It was like they were becoming like flames. And it says that the flame of God came on every person. Men, and there were men and women there. So obviously there were flames on women, which means God wants women to be on fire for him, and he wants to consume them with his anointing. And also it does not say that when that anointing came on those people, that the flame, there was a blue flame on the men and a pink flame on the women. Right? It's the same Holy Spirit who empowers a male preacher or an evangelist that you might look up to and think, what a powerful man of God that is. The same Holy Spirit that's on that person is the Spirit that's on you. Hello? And actually, the Bible never, ever gives the Holy Spirit gender. There's not gender associated with gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, when it talks about the Spirit distributes his gifts to whomever he wills, the Spirit decides how he's going to distribute gifts of the Spirit, whether it's prophecy, whether it's healing, whether it's miracles, discernment of spirits, whatever. He's the one who distributes, and it never says anything about this gift is for men, or it doesn't restrict certain gifts of the Holy Spirit to men. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is available to you. The fullness. The fullness. Everybody say the fullness. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is available to you. You are not on some level down here that you only get the residue or the runoff from up here. You have access to the fullness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I know that many of you probably could get up here and give me your own testimony of how you were filled with the Holy Spirit. But I also know there could be some in this room today who have never had that experience. Or maybe you didn't get the fullness of the experience. Or maybe you've gone through a season in life where you leaked all over the place and you don't feel like you're full anymore. Hello? That happens. And so what I want is that when we leave this place today, everybody walks out of here full of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that his presence is already here. His anointing is already here to do that in our lives, and that he wants to fill your empty vessel with his power. And he also wants to activate gifts and ministries inside of you. Some of you are like kindling that's it's like soaked in kerosene, and all you need is a spark. And this afternoon, I'm asking Jesus to just ignite you. And let's just have an explosion. Amen? Y'all want that? I want you to go to Judges chapter 9. And I just want to, what time are we supposed to end? I want to just share this brief story with you about a dangerous woman in the Old Testament. We don't even know her name, which I love, the fact that she's just an ordinary, unnamed woman. But in Judges 9, there's this story of this guy named Abimelech who used to be part of Israel, but then he backslid, he turned away from God, and then he began to terrorize God's people, and he was chasing God's people in this certain area, and they had to go into this city, and they were defending themselves from him and his little army. And in verse 50 of chapter 9, Judges 9, it says, "Then Abimelech went to Thebez, and he camped against Thebez and captured it. But there was a strong tower in the center of the city, and all the men and women with all the leaders of the city fled there and shut themselves in, and they went up on the roof of the tower. So Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it and approached the entrance of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head, crushing his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, 'Draw your sword and kill me, so that it will not be said of me, a woman slew him.' So the young man pierced him through, and he died." Now, why is that story in the Bible? It's actually one of several stories in the Old Testament. There's actually five different stories in the Old Testament of women who dealt fatal head injury to the enemy. You maybe remember the story of Jael in Judges chapter 4. She was the woman who took a tent peg and a hammer, and she nailed the enemy to the ground. One of those great R-rated scenes in the Bible. There's also a story in the life of David when they approached this city, and a wise woman, it says, he was going to burn the city down to try to find this guy who was escaped. And the woman said, "Don't burn the city down. Let me take care of it." And then a few minutes later, she threw the head of the enemy over the wall. Have y'all ever read that story? There's also the story in Genesis 3. The first prophecy given in the Bible is a prophecy given to the devil. And God said to him that, "I'm going to put enmity between you, the devil, and the woman." And he said, "The seed of the woman is going to crush your head." It was actually a prophecy about Jesus. But he involved the woman in that because obviously God was going to use a woman to bring the Messiah into the world. And he did that through Mary. And when Jesus came, Jesus crushed the head of the enemy, right? But he used the woman in that plan of redemption. And as a result, it said there was going to be enmity between the devil and the woman. There has always been friction. There has always been conflict. There has always been tension between the devil and the woman. And that's one of the reasons why there's so much pain in the world, in the lives of women, because the devil hates women, because he realizes your potential in God, and he knows what you are capable of. He knows that if Jesus can ever heal you to the uttermost and get you so convinced of who you really are in God and fill you with confidence, that you just might come after him with a tent peg and a hammer, and you just might nail some demons to the floor. Hello? I'm talking to somebody in here. The devil is really, really running scared today, afraid of what's going to happen if women figure this out. I mean, I think the devil is really running scared in Barranquilla, Colombia, because that woman, Patricia, when she experienced that healing through the power of the Holy Spirit, she is dangerous right now to the enemy. She's running around telling everybody what Jesus can do and how he can heal you, even if you've been raped, even if you've been abused, even if you've been beat up. You know, she's healed of all that now. And now it's like the devil is going to be really sorry that he ever messed with her. But in this story, you have this woman. It says a certain woman. She does not have a name. That means she was probably not a prominent lady. She was not somebody. It was in the upper class. She's not somebody that had a name that anybody knew. She's just this ordinary lady. And yet she finds herself in the middle of the story. She's just kind of like there. Everybody's doing their part. Everybody's trying to defend the city. And all of a sudden she looks, and there in front of her is the enemy right there. Do you think God had anything to do with that? He positions the enemy right in front of her. And then she's looking around going, "Well, what can I do? How can I help this?" And then she realizes, well, she's got something. She's got something in her possession. She's got an upper millstone. Now, what was that? Back in those days, an upper millstone was basically a domestic appliance. That was what they used in the kitchen to grind the wheat for the bread. It was kind of like if you were going to have a modern equivalent today, it would be like she would throw, you know, a microwave over the wall, or a steam iron, or a frying pan. It was just something they had in the home, a domestic appliance, but it was what she had. And here's this picture of this woman. She's looking down there. There's the enemy. He's right there in front of her. She's looking around. Everybody's doing their thing, doing their part, but she's right in front of him, and she's got the millstone in her hand. And so the Bible says that she took that, And I don't know what it would have been like. I wish we had a video of this. I can just imagine her, you know, and then she throws that in the name of Jesus. And she throws that millstone. And I don't think it was because she was a bodybuilder. I don't think she was incredibly gifted with strength. But somehow, once that stone left her hands, it was the Holy Spirit that guided the rock. Just like when David threw a rock at Goliath, even though I'm sure he was a good aim, I believe it was the Holy Ghost that propelled that rock and took it right to the forehead of Goliath and brought him down. Amen. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my Spirit. And in this case, this is like a female David throwing this rock. She hurls this rock, and then there's Abimelech. You know, he's the bad dude. He's like the Osama bin Laden of the story. And he's there doing his thing, fighting. All of a sudden he looks up, and there's this rock coming right for him. And he looks up, and there he sees this woman. And then all of a sudden, he's on the floor, brains are coming out. He's laying there, he's still alive, and then he makes this hilarious statement. He says, "Please, hurry up and kill me, lest it ever be said of me, a woman slew him." And then that statement is recorded in the Bible for everyone to read. Is that not cool? Why is that story in the Bible? You know, I'd like to ask that of people who don't think that God anoints women to do much. I'd like to ask that of these pastors and leaders who say, well, you know, God doesn't really intend women to preach, or you know, they just need to kind of stand in the background and be submissive and, you know, maybe lead the prayer ministry or do the children's ministry and fix our sandwiches. And, you know, why would this be in the Bible if God did not intend women to pick up millstones and to destroy enemies? Amen? God has some things for you to do. And I believe that there are certain battles, there are certain conflicts, there are certain issues that are not going to be resolved until God's women step up to the plate and do that. There are certain victories that are reserved for you. Hello? I believe that this is true about the Middle East. We're all looking at the Middle East going, I wonder what God's going to do in that place. I wonder how this is going to work. Because how many of you know God wants to visit places like Saudi Arabia and Iran and Yemen and Oman, and he wants to bring the gospel into those places and bring salvation to those people? You know what? I believe women are going to have a lot to do with it. In fact, it's already happening. When we see those countries, and you see those women, like in Iran, you see these women dressed from head to toe in solid black fabric, and you think about the oppression and how hot that is and how oppressive that is. But do you know that God's already using them, and he's already using that fabric? Because we're hearing about an amazing revival that's taking place in Iran right now. It's totally underground. I have a friend who works with Iranian Christians and churches, and he told me recently that one of their leaders called him and said, Pastor, we're thinking about that maybe we should stop evangelizing. And this guy goes, why? Why would you do that? And the guy says, well, we have this problem. He says, every person that we share the gospel with, whether it's on the streets, whether they come to our meetings, wherever we are, everybody that we share the gospel with in Iran gives their heart to Jesus. And he goes, we don't have enough Bibles now. We don't have enough people to disciple them. We don't have enough resources. And we're thinking maybe we should just stop for a while because there's too many people getting saved. Wouldn't you love to have that problem? And this pastor said, no, don't stop. He goes, we're going to send you more money. We're going to send you more Bibles. We're going to raise more funds because we don't want you to stop. Because the truth is that the heavens are opening over that country. And there's just an awakening of God in that place. But God is using the women. You see those pictures. You see all that fabric. But do you know that there are Iranian women now who are taking their Bibles and they're hiding them under that fabric. They're going to these home meetings. They get to the home meetings. It's just some women gathered in groups. They take their Bibles out. They share the scriptures. They get people saved. They lead people into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then they put their Bibles underneath the fabric and they walk out and nobody knows. God's using even that black fabric to spread the word and to establish the kingdom of God in that place. And I believe women are going to be very, very strategic in evangelizing the Muslim world. Amen? But I believe that here in this country, one of the reasons we're not seeing the revival that we need to see in America is because so many women have their hands tied behind their back, or because maybe they've been told they don't really have a role to play. And God is saying, would you look right in front of you? There's a millstone that I want you to pick up. Amen? And that millstone is your anointing. Every one of you has an anointing from God. Yours may not look exactly like hers. Hers may not look exactly like hers. Everybody's unique in terms of their gift mix. Some of you are preachers. Some of you have the gift of healing. Some of you are more oriented in this way or that way. But everybody who gets filled with the Holy Spirit has a set of gifts and anointings. And He wants you to use those to go out and do serious damage to the enemy. You will not do that in your own ability and in your own strength. But when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you become dangerous. And all of a sudden, the Abimelechs are falling under the weight of what you're doing, and God is using you in powerful ways. Now, some of you are looking at me like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And other ones are looking at me like, I don't know. But today, I just want you to open your heart to receive everything that the Holy Spirit has for you. And I'm asking Him to flip some switches in your life and turn on this power. Amen? Turn on the power of the Holy Ghost in your life and ask Jesus to activate that anointing in you. What is it that God has put in your hand? Maybe it's a millstone. Maybe it's a hammer and a tent peg. Or maybe it's like Esther, you know, in the Bible. One of my favorite books in the Bible, I named my ministry after her cousin Mordecai, because Mordecai believed that he needed to encourage Esther to do what only she could do. You know, the story was, Esther was a very shy girl. She was basically abducted from her home and taken to the king's palace. And then she finds out from her cousin that the king is about to kill all the Jews. And there she is in a very strategic place. And God has put her there because this is a victory. This is a battle that is reserved for her. Mordecai couldn't do what she was there to do. He could encourage her, but it was up to her. And in fact, when Mordecai went to Esther, he said, "You must speak." He said, "If you don't speak, deliverance will have to arise from another place, and you and your house will perish." And so Esther realized she has to step in to this role. And because she did, and she didn't depend on her own ability, the first thing that Esther did was call a prayer chain. She activated her maidens, and they began to pray. And they prayed for her to have boldness. She received supernatural power from the Holy Spirit, and she was able to bring the enemy out, expose him in front of the king, and then it was because of her actions, because of her bravery, because of her courage, that Haman actually went to the gallows, and his head was injured. In fact, you know, it says in Esther that he hung on the gallows, but actually in the Hebrew, that's not what it says. It says that he was impaled, which means they had a stick coming up from the ground, very sharp, and they would take the body and go. That's what happened to Haman because of Esther's courage. And that would not have happened unless a woman was obedient to the call of God. And it wouldn't have happened if Esther had tried to do that in her own strength. She had to depend on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this afternoon, as we close this conference, we've had healing. We've had, some of you have experienced a boost in your confidence because you've realized some things about who you really are. You recognize that you have an inheritance from God. But, ladies, we're not going to do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you feel like you're lacking in that area, if you need to be refilled, or if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit before, then we want God to do that in your life today. You may just say, well, I've never even heard of this before. I've seen people, I've heard people talk about this, but I've never had anybody really pray for me for that before. We would love to pray with you. If you feel like, well, I've been prayed for, but I never got a full release, maybe you didn't get your spiritual prayer language, maybe you've never really felt like you walk in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit before, God can do that activating in your life today. Or if you're one of those people that says, that happened to me a long time ago, but I've kind of leaked and I really need to be refilled, then we would like to pray for you today too. So let's bow our heads this morning, and I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and just take over. Matt, I'm going to ask, would you mind moving this out of the way? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you so much today, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing among women around the world. We thank you, Lord, that you're not only healing, and you're not only encouraging women, Lord, to step up and discover who they are, but Lord, you're also offering the fullness of your Spirit and your anointing. Father, we know that you want the flame of God to be ignited, Lord, not just on the heads of your women, but in their hearts. And Lord, you want to pour your power into your women, and you want to release, Father, anointings of the Holy Spirit in your women today.